Welcome everybody to our service here at the Vines in Woodcroft, South Australia for Sunday the 17th of January. Our theme is Aha! Moments with God, and our reading comes from 1 Samuel. So as we begin the service, I'd like to play a song that is a response for us to Samuel's declaration to God, where he says, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." So if you embrace this for yourself. Pray that you would help us to listen. Lord, it's sometimes hard to hear you speaking, but help us. And help us to look for you in those aha moments that we're going to hear about. To look and believe and trust that there will be moments in our lives when you will speak to us. So we praise you, Lord. We give you thanks for this time, for this service, for this gathering. We pray that you would bless it and your name would be glorified. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
splendor of the King. Clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! All will see how great, how great is our God. Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God.
My fear. wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see.
Amen. There's some great words in the first part of Psalm 18. We're going to recite those now together, so I'll read the first part, and in watching online, if you follow Sally, and the words will be up on the screen for you to do that. Psalm 18, verses 1 to 6. How I love you, Lord. You are my defender.
The Lord is my protector. He is my strong fortress.
My God is my protection, and with him I am safe.
He protects me like a shield. He defends me and keeps me safe.
I call to the Lord, and he saves me from my enemies. Praise the Lord.
The danger of death was all around me. The waves of destruction rolled over me.
The danger of death was around me, and the grave set its trap for me.
In my trouble, I called to the Lord. I called to my God for help.
All together.
In his temple, he heard my voice. He listened to my cry for help.
Amen.
Good morning. The reading today is Samuel's calling and prophetic activity. The reading is from 1 Samuel, chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. The Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel!" And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli, and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again, a third time. And he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears it tingle." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, welcome everybody. I should give myself a welcome back. A couple of weeks off was sensational. I hope you've been well, and 2021 has started okay for you. as I guess the temperature's been a bit cooler, which is nice from last year. Hey, look, remember to continue to check your emails, because that's one of the key ways we link in with you to communicate. The grapevine won't start until February. But anyway, hey, good to see you. Welcome. It's sensational. If we've got any kids in the building today and those online, I thought I'd start with my favorite Wiggle song. It goes like this. Wake up, Dave. La, 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 la. Wake up, Dave. We've got things to do. That's right, isn't it? Wake up, Dave. Yeah, that's it. What? What's wrong with the words? Oh, wake up, Jeff. Oh, sorry. Look, you know, what do you do? My one of my sons, who will remain nameless, Isaac, whenever he wanted to get out of something, we'd say, Isaac, can you do the dishes? And he'd go, we'd be out somewhere. Isaac, do you want to buy some coffees? And he'd go, Isaac, do you want to get married? Oh, he just did that. Oh, sensational. Well done, Isaac. But wake up. We're talking about waking up. We're talking about God speaking to a young boy. So how does God speak to young people, girls, boys, adults? It's an interesting thing to ask, isn't it? I wonder what God sounds like. Would God have a deep voice?
Wake up.
Would it be very high? Wake up. Would it be like a big sound? Hey. Fascinating. See, what we're going to do in the next few weeks is we're going to think about, how does God talk to us? Now, I've got some learned people in the congregation today, and they might think, say, like the Bible or prayer or something else. But it's going to be interesting. How does God talk to us? How do we listen to God? And not just simply go, that's a really interesting question. And there's something we're going to look at in the next 3-4 weeks. So thanks for joining in. Let me say a short prayer. Lord God, as we think about the young people in our lives, we ask that you would continue to speak to them in a surprising ways, exciting ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's join together in song, even if you're at home.
He came to live a perfect life. He came to be the living Word, our light. He came to die so we'd be reconciled. He came to rise to show His power and might. That's why we praise Him. That's why we sing. That's why we offer.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We continue our worship now with our prayers for others. And I invite you all to join with me in these prayers. Heavenly Father, you are the creator of the world. A world that is such a beautiful place with boundless seas of blue and green. It's a diverse planet that is rich and varied in its flora and its fauna, and of its people too. A world that should be nurtured and cared for. And yet, Lord, we see and hear of so many things that sadden us. We hear of war and killing. We hear of the misuse of the great resources we have. And of course, always there is man's inhumanity to man. But Lord, we know that you are the preserver of people everywhere, the one on which all our hopes are founded. And so this morning, Lord, we pray for people of every race and in every kind of need. But we think especially about those nations that are suffering with the coronavirus and who have lost so many people. And we also think of the men and the women who have survived, but for whom life has changed forever. The nations, rich and poor, who have succumbed to this indiscriminate virus. But Lord, we also give thanks and praise for the men and women in the front line who have had to have put themselves in harm's way, many of whom have lost the battle. We thank them for their sacrifice, Lord, and we give thanks that we here in Australia have been spared the same ravages as so many other nations. We pray today for those nations who are involved in civil strife. And sadly, now we add the US to this list of places. But Lord, we pray that those leaders who have the power to influence what is happening will act with mercy and compassion and common sense. But we also pray for those who are enduring great episodes of drought or fire or flood. We pray that they can be brought through their trials safely. Oh, please, Lord, make your ways and your saving power known amongst all nations on earth. Now we pray for your church throughout the world. We ask that you will guide us and govern us by your Holy Spirit so that all who profess to call themselves Christians may be led into the way of truth and hold on to their faith in the unity of the Spirit, bound by the bonds of love and in the righteousness of life. And help us all to be strong in the defense of our faith, even in countries where Christianity is the dominant religion, but where Christians find themselves under threat. And now, Lord, we offer a prayer for all who are anxious or distressed in mind or in body. And this we include the sad and the lonely. Give them patience and forbearing in their suffering and bring them out safely. of all their troubles. Lord, we bring before you these people throughout the world who are without adequate means of support to support themselves and their families, and those whose hold on life is so fragile. We pray for the victims of the growing plague of homelessness. So many people are victims of circumstances and need support to survive, Lord. But we ask that those of us who are secure can be mindful of others and help in any way we can. So, Father, direct our lives by what we need and not simply by what we desire. Help us to be more like Christ. We can be sure that if we live, that as we live our life by our Christian principles, we will have a closer walk with God. We commend to your fatherly goodness all those who are bereaved, because we know, Lord, when someone we love dies, we can feel lost and alone, but we know that in all of these things, you are with us, and for that we are humbly grateful. This morning, we are going to take a quiet moment simply to remember those who have died in the peace of Christ and those whose faith is known only unto you. And Lord, we pray that you will grant them a place in your eternal kingdom. And now we pray for all the people in the vines. So Lord, as we leave to go home today, keep us safe and well to try to walk that close walk with you. Let us be shining examples of Christ's love in the world to all we meet. Guide us and our lives as is your will. So, Lord, in thanksgiving and faith, we commend our prayers to your keeping, and we pray that we may be deemed worthy to enter the joy of your heavenly kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Let's pause for a prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the prayers we've just heard. And as we reflect on this scripture, we ask that you would continue to speak to us. In Jesus' name. So, thanks Rob and Bill for the last couple of weeks for the sermons you prepared. And it was really interesting listening. And certainly Bill got me thinking as he reflected on fleeces and discovering God's will and direction. And then Rob was speaking about the ordinary life of Jesus until he was 30, and then his life was transformed. And God's love and life was brought to life through Jesus. And the whole idea of, you know, God not judging through appearances, but allowing the Spirit to stir us. And that really got me thinking about, how does God speak to us? And so today, part of our theme, and in fact the next 3-4 weeks, will be how does God speak to us? And we call this season the season of Epiphany. So if you're not a liturgical person, well, that's a word you've just discovered. Epiphany. Try spelling that backwards. But the idea of Epiphany is, the definition is a moment of sudden and great revelation and insight. So it's like, aha. And there's a couple of people that a couple of services where we've looked at people who've had an aha moment. Here's Mary and the angel, when the angel tells her and gives her the invitation to be the mother of God. An aha moment. And then we had the Grinch, where we had the kids doing their Grinch Christmas service, where they were talking about the aha moment for the Grinch, where he discovered the true meaning of Christmas and his heart grew three times the size. So the Epiphany season after Christmas tour is really trying to invite us to think about how Jesus is present in the world. How is it that we discover the love of God, the life of God in the world? How do we have that aha moment? How do we help others have an aha moment? You know, it's really difficult in the Western world we live in. It's a very noisy world, isn't it? There's so many things happening. You turn on the TV, we're bombarded with stuff all over the world. You know, whenever you turn on the TV, we see the latest drama or trauma happening in some part of the world. And as was mentioned in the prayers, you know, America has featured greatly in the last weeks. But that doesn't forget the many places of poverty where COVID is just running rampant. And when we think of 2021, and sadly, you know, for much of the world, there's going to be no change, really. The vaccine might come for the wealthy places, the wealthy countries might benefit. But for the rest of the world, probably two-thirds, COVID is just going to be continuing to run rampant. So the world as we know it is just going to still be immersed in this stuff. So part of our challenges we've had last year are going to roll into this year. And that makes it really noisy. It really makes it very hard if we're trying to hear things. Now, you know, we're talking about discovering and listening to God, and I really like the way in which in our busy, noisy world, sometimes our phones, and I haven't got my phone on me, and I'm probably grateful for that because otherwise it'd be making noise. Or it'd be going off, wouldn't it? It'd be pinging. We'd be checking the phone. We'd be checking Facebook. There was a story I was listening to. Someone was sharing on the radio about how she went out bush and she didn't take a phone. And when she was out bush, she stopped. And one night around a campfire, she looked up at the stars. Not sure if you've been out bush. If you've been out bush on a starry night, don't look down here. You don't see anything. Look up. And it's just a mind-blowing thing where you think, what I'm seeing is suns, worlds, planets. And for this woman, it was like a grounding moment where she reconnected with herself that had been lost in the busyness of the phone and all the stuff that the West talks about. In fact, recently I had someone send me a text, I've had an epiphany. Now the problem was I was actually cooking at the time, so I didn't get to look at my text. And the next morning I had a look at the text and thought, oh, fantastic. So I text back, hey, what was it? Tell me all about it. And the very sheepish text came back, oh, I thought you were going to ring me straight away. I can't remember. I went, what? So I rang this person. I said, what do you mean you can't remember? Was it about life? Was it about God? Was it about cars? What was it about? This person could not remember. The epiphany was there and it went through a finger. Isn't that amazing? What is it that we miss? And what I like about this story from Samuel, it's a story about sleep. And we know that sleep is a wonderful thing. I was looking around for different pictures of sleeping, and this one I came across. I thought it was very cute. Kids fall asleep in the most ridiculous places. You know, we had children who have fallen asleep in their food. And no doubt you would have had lots of funny stories too. Maybe for you, sleep is one of those difficult things. So if I was to say, how did you sleep last night? What would you say? How many would you put up and think, yeah, I had a fantastic sleep? Some. How many would say sleep is synonymous with snoring and not mine? Sorry, fellas. What, I don't know. Sleep is one of those valuable things, isn't it? And the story we have today of Samuel and Eli is about sleep. I'm not sure if you've ever been fast asleep and had your sleep disrupted. I remember once I was sleeping and the smoke alarm went off. or at least I thought it was. And so I got out of bed and I woke up opening the back door, you know, and I'd left the family, I left the wife, I left the kids all behind. There I am trying to get out the door. It's just an instinctive thing, you know, where you're fast asleep and you come awake and it's like, what is happening? And what I really like about the story of Samuel and Eli is they both missed the point. They, you know, God had to speak to Samuel four times, and he's only a young kid of 12, so he can be excused. And at one point it talks about God standing at the end of Samuel's bed, you know, to try and connect, project his voice. I don't know what was happening. But Eli, he's the prophet. He's the guy who's supposed to be the one who knows God, is the voice piece of God. And he's just telling Samuel to go back to bed. It's the fourth time that he finally figures out, maybe something more is happening here. Maybe God is wanting to speak to Samuel. So it made me think about the whole way in which God speaks to us. God's call. And I had a bit of fun with the children's talk, obviously, trying to think about what God would sound like. Now, I have to admit, in my life as a Christian, so what's that now? 37, almost 40 years, I've never heard God speak to me audibly. You know, sometimes I've had a thought come in my mind. Other times I've been confronted with something, like, you know, you have a context or an event, an argument, something goes wrong, an encounter with someone, and it's like a confronting point where you suddenly discover something about yourself. So it would have been really perplexing for both of Eli and Samuel. But I wonder, how about you? I mean, when we talk about God speaking or us listening or hearing, I mean, what sort of experiences have you had? I mean, can you think of a time when you had an aha moment, when it's like, oh, yeah, wow, that was confronting. I didn't see that coming. Or it's really fascinating, because I think so many times, if we are immersed in ourselves or we're overly busy, we miss what God is trying to engage with us. We live in a world that is very noisy. And if we're trying to hear, what are the things that we miss because of our business? Sometimes our business could be about ourselves. We're so busy worrying about ourselves that everything else gets blocked out. Or maybe it's our expectations. Maybe we actually expect that, God's not going to speak to us. I'm 80 years old. I know everything. I don't know. Had a really good conversation with someone who probably was in her 80s, but she looked 60. And she said, you know, we were talking about old age and the wisdom you get in age. And she said to me, you know, David, one of the things I'm discovering is the older I get, the more I realize I don't know stuff about God. And, you know, because I guess the temptation is to say, hey, look, I've lived this long. I've been a Christian for 60 years. I know all this stuff. I've heard this stuff all the time. But I really loved her expectation. I really love the fact that she said, you know what, there's more I can learn. There's more I can hear from God. There's more I can discover. I love that. It's those points in which the light globe goes on. And, you know, it's an important thing to be able to see that, to hear that, to recognize it. Now, for all of us who lived through last year, sometimes people say, your context is the thing that wakes you up. Did COVID wake you up? Was that a big wake-up call? You know, for some people, it's no change. It's like, I'm bored. For some people, it has been a big shift in their lives. And so sometimes our context really shapes us and wakes us up. Sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes that's a bad thing. Sometimes that can be just overly traumatic, and just our grief and loss is just overwhelming. And yet somewhere in that, what we're remembering is that God is present. So we're not saying that we'll never have any problems and 21 will be fantastic. 21 is probably going to be hard too, but what we're saying is that God is present with us, And in that journey, we discover stuff. And there are aha moments waiting for us this year. The question is, are we going to be so immersed in our own stuff that we don't hear it? Are we going to be so busy doing other stuff? How is it that we make space to hear? That's a really interesting question, and I liked it. And I finished with these sort of questions. And I went on a bit of a tangent, I guess, in one of the questions. If your life was like a sleeping pattern, how would you describe it? Are you currently sound asleep? Are you a light sleeper, maybe? Have you got a do not disturb on your door? Again, it's a metaphor, and I'm just playing around with this a bit. What would it take for you to hear God speaking into your life, or for you to reflect and be open? Would it take an earthquake, a trumpet, or are you that switched on it would just need to be a whisper? Because context makes Scripture speak to us differently. Every different scenario shapes our response and engagement to Scripture. That's why it keeps coming alive. So, I'm going to invite you to ponder these questions. You can pause your video there, your DVD, your online stuff. You can tell my age. And think of that. Well, how would you answer those questions? Because it's an important question to ponder this year. Because God is going to be still working with us in the midst of this change. Again, let me pause as we offer a prayer. Holy Spirit, you are the presence of Christ. Come stir us. Tickle our ears so that we may hear what you're doing in our lives. Help us to discover new things in our church and our mission and outreach. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Ben.
Please join us in this final song.
My Savior, Redeemer, lifted me from the miry clay. Almighty, forever, I will never be the same, 'cause you came near from the everlasting to the one we live, the Father's only Son. And you lived, and you died, and you rose again on high, and you opened the way for the world to live. From the miry clay, Almighty, forever, I will never be the same, 'cause you came near from the everlasting to the world we live, the Father's only Son. And you lived, and you died,
Great song, great way to finish as we remember those beautiful words and sends us out. Remember, look, as we go into this year, part of our aim is to continue to reach out to others. And in a COVID environment means we can go out and have coffee, we can invite people for meals, we can do stuff. We're not locked in, we can't do anything. We've got to reach out, we've got to continue to grow and discover. And in our reaching out, we hear God at work. So my encouragement to you for this year is we're going to reach out. We're going to step out. We're going to hear God at work through our lives and the lives of others. So with that said, have a good year.
Amen.
See you next week.